For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, is it time for the 5 at 5?
It is time. It's brought to you by Duplicating Systems, making me think of the days with Terry Trotashaw and Trey Bliss and that whole crew. More than a system, a solution. And they were, when Mr. Trotashaw kind of got that business rolling, they were ahead of their times.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great company. Athens Landmark.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, DJ, what do we
got? All right. Well, this isn't a question. This is just a name. I'm just going to say a name and you just take off. All right.
All right.
Kawhi Leonard.
I have never seen an ending like that. We've seen you think about this, it's rare to see the buzzer beating shot.
Yeah.
All right. It's even more rare to see it in game 7 of a series. And I was even thinking back through, just because the Lady Dogs had won a couple of years ago, and somebody had asked, like, well, how many of those? Yeah, I bet you get like 2 or 3 of those a year. And I said, to be honest with you, I could probably think of maybe 5 or 6 in 25 years. It just, it's kind of like a walk-off home run. People say, oh, what do you get, about 6 or 7 of those in a season? It's like maybe 1 every 2 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I didn't bring it up to talk about the NBA as much as I brought it up because it was a game 7 buzzer beater.
And it went duh, duh,
yeah,
duh, duh.
Yeah, I know.
Through. So, I mean, to me, that's, you and I could talk a lot better about NBA in the 80s.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Than we could today. And I'm sure there's been some research on it. I don't think anything like that's ever happened. Now, there have been buzzer beaters, but you could probably do on 1, maybe 2 hands a game 7 buzzer beater in a tie game, or let's say if it was a 1-point game. But to have it hit the rim 4 times is unprecedented.
Oh,
stuff.
Totally.
You know, the moral of the story was, too, in the end there, you know what Toronto did? They got it in the hands of their best player.
Who averaged, 37 points a game in the series?
41
yeah.
last night.
I think he started the series with 40 and ended with a 40.
Just get it to your guy, and it went down. You know, that's another, and Dave and I are both sports purists. The rule that the NBA does, which, by the way, Women's Hoops does it too, and I bet the men are going to follow along too, just like I think they're going to do quarters as well. But when you call the timeout with under a minute, you can advance forecourt to the hash there. As a purist, I'm like, well that's not right. I mean, just because you call a timeout. But I like it.
Add
it adds more excitement.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you what you think about this one. In the international game, and this can just prevent you from bleeding it.
Right.
If you – they got a 24-second clock. So, like, if I miss the shot, we're on the same team, you get the offensive board. That shot clock resets to 14.
14.
I love that.
Exactly.
It just keeps the pace moving.
Yep.
So you don't just grind it. Because in college
– you used to get it and you just throw it back out and start all over. And now, I mean, you can do that, but you ain't got as much time to set up.
And I think in college, they should say, all right, it's 30. If you miss and get it back, then it's back to 15. Because it is – you're talking about a minute if you're trying to grind it. And then that just leads to more fouling and more stoppages in play. So I do like the advancement. And, man, for that thing to go in. And then on the flip side of that, man, Denver at home, that was a crushing loss. They were up double digits in the first half, and Portland came back and got them. And, again, that's a game I would have liked to have watched back in the 80s with Fat Lever, Kiki Vandeweghe, English.
So, but not, you know, that's funny. I was thinking about that, too.
Drexler.
So you don't have to – Toronto doesn't count, but you got the Bucks and you've got the Trailblazers and the Warriors. I want to see Rick Barry shooting free throws underhanded. I want to see Lionel Hollins. I want to see Bill Walton in his big headband. And I want to see Kareem, or would it have been Lou Alcindor?
I think he might have
become. Bucks.
And you know, Oscar Robertson was the point guard for that team.
The one that won the NBA title?
Did he finish?
He finished with the Bucks, okay.
Yeah.
And then they had Brian Winters, remember, who looked like Michael McDonald with the beard. Did.
Well, to me, the 80s, and I know you were a Boston fan growing up, like our buddy Vance was, and I was a big Sixers fan. I love Dr. J.
Right.
those Bucks teams never made the final, but they were better than a lot of teams. That
they were always good.
So
they were kind of like the Hawks were, yes, when they were like always good, but not quite good enough.
So they had Sidney Moncrief, who's a great player, yep, Marcus Johnson, and Bob Lanier.
Yep.
Three great. And they had Paul Pressey, Alton Lister,
yep,
big 7'3 Randy Brewer,
yep,
and the most handsome man in the NBA. Paul McCaskey. Paul, that is worth a Google.
Nice, that black, was a handsome curly man. Locks.
But that mustache.
Oh, that stash.
Hey, but they were one of those teams. It was just hard for them that they were going through when Philly and Boston were both. You had Dr. Yeah. J and you had Larry Bird. When Philly and Boston were just incredible, and that was right at the time that they were really, really good, and they just never were able to break through. But – you know, you just look at it with Toronto and Milwaukee now. So, you know, the NBA saying, Golden State, let's please go ahead and beat Portland here.
Well, here's question number two. Does the NBA have a LeBron problem? In other words, him, you know, that probably wasn't well thought out with him signing with the Lakers. Right. The league probably should have gotten involved and said, if you're going to sign with somebody on the East Coast.
Well,
we're losing some TV stuff here with you, and the Lakers being bad, and him being hurt for some of the season, and the fact that their games tip off at 10:30, they didn't have that good Eastern. I mean, they're good teams, but they didn't have that big name in the East to lead things off for their TV. It wasn't a great year as far as that went for the NBA and TV.
No, it wasn't. I think this is one of the things, Brame and I talked about this in like 11 or 12, or maybe it was that third year. We were like, yeah, so yeah, the East is kind of a foregone conclusion. We're like, well, duh, dummy. The West has been so good. The NBA had it great for 8 straight years. You had the best player going up against a great team, and you have got to be a great team to win the West.
Yeah.
You can't win 3 series if you're not. So they had, you know, whether it was Oklahoma City or Dallas or the Spurs or then Golden State, it was just a dream matchup.
Right.
And now they don't have that.
Nope. Nope. They don't. And, you know, that's and I'll give ESPN credit. They've done a really good job of keeping LeBron in the headlines, even though his team's been out for the last 3 or 4 weeks or however long it's been.
And they were praying for a Boston-Philly so they could do like an 80s revisit.
Exactly.
But they get Toronto and Milwaukee.
And, you know, Giannis is great.
He is.
I probably just said his name wrong. But he doesn't have that name yet, you know, for the masses, although he's a terrific player.
Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I mean, he is really good. Kawhi Leonard's really good. And I will give – I watched most of both of the games yesterday. The crowd in Toronto was incredible last night. I mean, they were rocking.
I don't blame them.
They had.
I don't blame them.
They had. There were people in the streets going nuts out there. But
so we had people in the streets of Toronto. We had Joel Embiid crying. By the way, Kawhi Leonard is the first player in NBA history to make a buzzer beater to win a Game 7.
Wow.
In the postseason.
Well, I said we could do it on one or maybe two hands.
Yeah,
I
stumbled upon that while you were talking. 135 Game 7s in the history of the NBA playoffs, and that was the first to have a buzzer-beating, game-winning shot.
And then, like, I think back, the shot that John Paxson hit, I think that was a Game 6.
Yeah, yeah. They've had, buzzer-beaters to win series.
MJ's was a Game 6
against
Byron Russell.
Right, but they
weren't
Game 7s.
Yeah.
So.
And then for it to hit the rim.
No question. No question.
No question.
No question. All right. Let's see here, Jeff. Next question in the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. Georgia baseball, where will the Dogs finish in the regular season?
Please, please, 3. There was a Beatles hit in the early 60s called Please, Please Me. We're saying Please, Please, 3 so we can go at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday.
Yeah. This is all about us.
It is all about us as opposed to playing the late game.
For the team, too. I mean, we're joking, but yeah, come on.
Well, because the problem is the late game might start at 9:30 Pacific time on Wednesday.
I mean, here's the thing. It's scheduled. I laugh at this. It's scheduled to start at 8 o'clock Central. So the earliest it can start Eastern time is 9.
That's the earliest. That's brutal.
And if you don't win that game, let's see, what is that? That would be Game 8.
Yes.
The loser of Game 8 would have to turn around and play 2 o'clock the next day. But you may not start till midnight. I mean, we've had some brutal starts.
Wait. Listen, they need to go to a, like basketball, go to a 14-team single, play it Tuesday through Saturday.
The top four seeds wouldn't have to play till like either Thursday or Friday.
Whatever you wanted to do.
You don't have to wreck your pitching staff getting ready for a regional. You lose a game, you go home, and you get ready for the regional.
And you could also even space it out to where you don't have back-to-back four-game days.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and by the way, Georgia went 0-2 at the SEC tournament last year and still got a top eight national seed.
It's when we really needed it, like in 2011, we had that great run and it got us in. In 06, we went 3-2 and that got us a national seed. In 87 and 90, 0-2, 0-2. In 01, we won one. In 04, we won one. In 08, we were 0-2.
Yeah.
It's fine. It doesn't. Now, I saw Tony Losi and Charlie Werner this morning when I was out on my exercise. And I was like, I was just congratulating Tony and say, I'm looking forward to Bam. He goes, and then the tournament, that tournament done. He goes, man, I need to pitch against live hitting next week in Birmingham. I said, so you're telling me we need to win at least one? He was like, yes. He said, I'm going to tell coach, and even if we lose the first one, if we're losing the second, just to put me in for a couple of innings. He says, I want to face somebody. I don't want to go 2 weeks without pitching.
That's a good point.
But then it's that fine line, though, between wrecking your pitching staff and getting guys work in. But we got to worry about Alabama first. And
that's right. They got to worry about Georgia.
It. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, next question. It's another name. I'll say it. You just start talking. Tate Ratledge.
Big, big, big commitment. Let me go to my man. You're talking about a guy 6'5", 305 pounds. He's got long arms, got great football. He's really powerful at the point of attack there. You know, played against top-notch competition. You got Georgia and Tennessee, big recruit. That kind of that disputed territory there. So, yeah, Ratledge, he checks off all the boxes.
Yep.
And this is a very good year for offensive linemen in the state. And going by the 24/7 rankings, the composite rankings, and that takes all the different sites into account, of the top six, seven, eight players in the state, three of them are offensive tackles. Georgia's got two of them, Broderick Jones and Ratledge now. The other one, Miles Hinton, he's going to Stanford, so that's okay.
Yep.
And, just what Georgia's been able to do with that offensive line recruiting. And what are we calling the kid from Texas who's coming?
Aki.
Aki-O. So you got Aki-O coming in at guard and Ratledge and Jones at tackle. And I'm sure since last year, and I get it, we signed three last year after those back-to-back five-player recruiting classes on the O-line. I'm sure Sam Pittman would like to add probably two more, you know, at least one more. But, I mean, this is a stellar core of the offensive line with this class for sure.
And, again, we are seeing what happens when you pay special attention to a certain position in recruiting and not have to rely on keeping your fingers crossed and hope nobody gets hurt.
The best example
of that was last year at the South Carolina game when Andrew Thomas gets hurt. And what does Georgia do?
They just
bring Cade Mays in. And they didn't have to rearrange the position. You know, I was about to say the chairs on the Titanic because that's not what it was. They just put Mays right in there for Thomas and left everybody in the other positions exactly where they were. And Georgia didn't miss a beat.
And also in Kentucky when Lamont Galliard got hurt early, big Trey Hill
comes right in. Not switching people around.
And played great. So, yeah, just adding to the depth. And also, I mean, it's a thing. The best case scenario, Georgia wins it all. And Andrew Thomas is the first pick in the draft. And Isaiah Wilson is the top 15 pick. You're not going to be as good there in 2020 as you would have been if those guys come back. But assuming that Mays goes to left tackle and you got guys like Owen Condon sitting there, then Warren McLennan and Xavier Trosa came in, now you got these true freshmen coming, you're still going to be good there. You know, you might not be as good, but you still might be good enough to, you know, have a double-digit win season and put yourself back into contention. Because, I mean, the deal is now, Dave, you know, I remember because it started with Herschel. With the president took him with juniors going early. But, you know, it used to be a guy wouldn't jump unless he was going to be a first-round pick. But now if you get an elite guy in there, the red shirting is rare. Those 3 years go by quick. So it used to be you might could go a year without doing a stellar job at a couple of positions recruiting. But now you got to recruit good at every position every year. And Georgia's doing that on the offensive line.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, too. And what about the interior portion of the defensive line?
Yeah, we got two defensive tackles there. But we got to get at least two or three more because we're losing six seniors off of this defensive front this year.
All right, finally, because we'll get back to more football recruiting talk.
For sure.
This season's Orange Bowl is moving to December 30th with a primetime kickoff. I have to look and see what day of the week. We'll see. What is the – Wednesday is New Year's Day coming up, right?
So it'll be a Monday?
So it would be a primetime Monday kickoff.
So that'll be the first Monday after Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Because the regular season
must
be over.
That's right. It was originally scheduled to be played the afternoon of New Year's Day.
Okay.
So the Orange Bowl will not be hosting a semifinal this season. So had it stayed on January 1st, it would have been competing against other traditional New Year's Day. I got no problem with that.
Yeah,
you know, a good football, spread them out. That's the problem with college football. It eats itself with its primetime games. So if you've got more options for TV to have less games in each option, I'm all good for it.
And I think it's one of the things that, you know, typical, of course, when Georgia's in it, but – in the 2017 season, it was that remarkably quick turnaround. Of course, we had to come back from the West Coast. I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, are they playing the semifinals
this year,
on the 28th?
It's going to be like almost a 2 week.
So you're going to go from the 28th and
to the 3rd or to the whatever it is, so 11th or something.
Yeah, so you're going to have, I mean, a nice. The point is, those semifinal games are also major bowl games, so you could enjoy winning those for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, we really couldn't even enjoy the Rose Bowl. I mean,
it was just a whirlwind.
Like that should have been the end there. I mean, the way that thing ended. And
well, I vote that that is how the season ended, in the Rose Bowl.
Same here. So if the first is on a Wednesday, second, third, fourth, fifth, so they're playing the championship game on the 13th. And not this. Yeah, I mean, that you're over
not
two
right, the
weeks.
Yeah, the 13th. And the semifinals are on December 28th. So they are, and again, I guess you've got the traditional New Year's Day games coming up. So the 28th, 29th, 30th. So just seems like there's a long.
That's a long.
There's a long. Here's period there between the semifinals and New Year's Day.
I get it that it's TV and time slots and all that, but also college football's day is Saturday. The national championship game needs to be played on a
Saturday.
Absolutely. That's a thing, too. You know, that was always a thing as kids growing up. It didn't matter what time you could stay up all day, all night, and it's a Saturday. Well, now, I mean, I'm not saying you're losing a generation of fans because it's only one game, but, I mean, how many, you know, how many kids, or for that matter, grown-ups, it's like you're also – boy, you're through the holidays. I mean, it's you're kind of trying to start fresh back. You kind of hung over from the holidays. Then, boy, here's a Monday night game kicking off at, what, 8:30, 9 o'clock? You know, I sit there and say, well, boy, it'd be tough for school kids, but it's tough for adults. Since I married a teacher, I've discovered people with real jobs.
With jobs that start early.
I mean,
it's hard. Hey, you hear me complain about it a lot in the mornings.
But play it on a Saturday. If the NFL's got two playoff games that day, fine. Just work with them and say, hey, we'll play the championship game in between at 3:30, or we'll play it at night, whatever. But play it on a Saturday.
I know. So they're playing the semifinals on Saturday, and it's too bad that – you know, you can't play the championship game
on
Saturday.
And that is another thing, too. I did say when this thing came in, I said, well, at least New Year's Day will be the big day in college football again. But now it's not.
It's the college – or it's the conference championship game.
That's the biggest day of the year, no doubt. And because it used to be, you know, think about us going to the Sugar Bowl. If there was one spot somebody told you, beyond the obvious, well, at Bama, we say the national title game. You know, beyond that, it used to be, like, if you could guarantee me we were going to New Orleans, I knew we won the SEC, and we had a great year. Now it's like you want to guarantee being in Atlanta.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. All right. There we go. The old five at five.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.